Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy, your wisdom to us continually, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the time in which we give you, Lord, honor and glory and praises, Lord. Even in the times when we are struggling, Lord, and we fail, we praise you. For you have shown us, Lord, that it is only by your grace and your mercy that we're standing, Lord, and firm. We thank you, Lord, that through every circumstance and every challenge, Lord, we have wisdom and direction from you, Lord, to move forward, to continue in your ways, Lord. Lord, this morning, as we spend time in worship and we make it our aim to go to the Word, Lord, we pray that your Spirit will move among us, Lord. That as we spend time in this place, Lord, the eyes of our heart will be enlightened, Lord, and that every one of us will clearly see, Lord, your goodness, your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we have the freedom to worship you, to be together. And Lord, even as we look at this summer, Lord, and the blessings that we've had, Lord, also, we realize that it's time to go back to school, Lord, and we pray for the students, we pray for the teachers, we pray, Lord, for the many thousands and thousands of kids that are going to be, Lord, educated in the next few months. And Lord, not only the challenge, Lord, of what they are being educated with and the information they receive, but Lord, the challenge that we are looking in our nation more and more, Lord, with antagonism against Christianity, Lord, the fear that is in some ways directing many of the things that we do, Lord, the political challenges and arena that is just, Lord, bringing things to our minds and our hearts, Lord. Father, I pray for wisdom. I pray for discernment. I pray that a move of your Holy Spirit will take place, Lord, in the young generation, Lord, from kindergarten all the way to college, Lord, that your heart will be, Lord, known in a powerful way, Lord, that your word will be upheld, Lord, by men, and that as people, Lord, seek your face, revival will take place in this nation in a powerful way, Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated for a moment here. I want to just take a time to remind you that, as many of you know, this week and or this past week or the week coming, it's the beginning of school for many. Amen. Our kids are going back to school and you know, getting the list ready and really getting back into school mode. It's a challenge. Amen. Just thinking of those things. But you know, we have a few teachers here, and we want to just pray, and students too. We want to pray for you and just ask God for direction, for protection, for His guidance on everyone. You know, the places, more and more, the places where we have been called to work, to serve, not just here in church, for me, is here as a minister, but you know, for many of you, the places where God has called you there for a reason. How many of you know that? Amen? And how does that look like? You know, what is the goal, the aim of God? Either if you're teaching or you are a student, you know, going back to college and all that. And I want to take a time to just, if you come here, you know, anyone who wants to come here of the teachers, I know that the Reynolds are here. And we want to probably just, you're being blindsided this morning? Good. That's exactly what I wanted. No, I'm just kidding. Pray for you guys. You know, I want to pray for the teachers this morning. I want you to pray with us. Amen. Jackie,
yeah.
You're going back to?
Yeah.
Amen. And Mr. McGrail back there?
Absolutely.
Amen. Well, let's pray, shall we? Can we pray? Let's just pray for our teachers here present and our students. Father, we want to bring this before your attention, Lord, and our attention. You know what's going on, Lord. And the Word says even before we pray for something, you already know, Lord, what we need. But Lord, as we do this and focus for a moment, Lord, we realize that there is a big challenge around us, Lord, in education, Lord, in our government, in society, the values, the ethics, Lord, the goals of society are continually changing, Lord. And Lord, you have asked us to be salt and light. And Lord, very firmly and in a humble way, we ask, Lord, that you, by your grace and your mercy, will give wisdom and direction, discernment. Lord, that insight will take place in the mind and the hearts of everyone who's going back to school, Lord, this week. Not only, Lord, in regard to the values that are being presented in school, Lord, but also the challenges that we face to present those, Lord. Lord, give wisdom to Jackie, to Mr. McGrail here present, Lord, to the Reynolds, Lord, Shirley and John, Lord. Would you give grace to them as teachers, Lord? And many of the ones that are here, Mrs. Mason, Lord, and the ones that are Glenn, Lord, Sabin, during regular basis, and Cindy Newberry, Lord, we pray for them. We pray for wisdom, for grace, for the anointing of your Holy Spirit in their lives, Lord. And that as they have the opportunity and the time, Lord, to challenge students around them, Lord, they will see your call, your talents, Lord, and that responsibility that you have placed upon them, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the call of these men and women, Lord, that are standing in the gap and sharing and getting to know the needs of many of the students. Lord, we also pray for those that are going back to college, Lord, here. And for those that are going back to school, Lord. Father, prepare them. Give them wisdom and grace, Lord. Strengthen them in your power and in your faith, Lord. And as they face different ideas, Lord, that they may remember, Lord, your word, this truth. You are the truth, Lord. So we thank you. Guide us in your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to invite you to stand up and just join us in worship with one more song here as we continue before we go to the Word of God. And the rock that gives us the stability that we need to move forward, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Lord, this morning. And give us wisdom, Lord, as we follow on. And Lord, I pray that as you know the needs, the condition of every heart around us, Lord, that you will minister to us, Lord, through this message, through your word, Lord, that in a powerful way, Lord, we will surrender to you and ask for your guidance and your wisdom, Lord. Lord, make this message clear to us, Lord, the message of your word, what you want to share with us today, what you want to speak to our hearts, Lord, and give us an ability to discern, to look, Lord, in our lives more than anything, and to ask, am I stable? Is my faith in you stable? Am I persevering in faith continually? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Guide us now in your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, John. I'm going to invite you to go to the book of Matthew this morning. You're going to be surprised you didn't hear Mark, but we're going to the book of Matthew chapter 24, verse 13 this morning. I'm going to just pick it up right there, one simple verse, verse 13, and then I'm going to start. I want to share this morning about godly perseverance through everything, through uncertain times and challenges that we may be facing. And as we look at this message, you know, some of the things that we see around us in the world very often make us wonder what is going on. Now, in verse 13, it's clear here. It says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. I want to focus here for a moment because as Christians, we are to persevere in faith continually. Amen? How many of you realize that there is a lot of change going on around us continually? I want you to look at the big picture for a moment, and I want you to look at the small picture too. You know, change is constant, and we have very little control of what's going on around us. Have you realized that? Politically, you know, financially. I mean, even in the fact of what's going on with the church in the big picture, you know, the whole church in the world. I was just thinking through these, you know, and just looking at, I mean, our world, you know, what's going on in Afghanistan, what's going on in regard to all these, you know, persecution in the last few weeks. As you may imagine, as a pastor, you know, we're subscribed to different magazines and prayer requests and prayer changes, and there is a lot of persecution in Afghanistan. Now, there is some fake news going on out there too, okay? Exaggerations of people, you know, getting ready to be killed and all that. But there is persecution. Assembly of God Church, you know, is struggling and just doing the best they can to pull their missionaries out of there. This is obviously very underground. But someone that I was actually listening to, they're talking about persecution in China like never before. In Cuba, there's a lot of persecution against Christianity, against, you know, those that are proclaiming the truth of the gospel. Political unrest, you know. Mexico, the place where I grew up, just the little county where I grew up, in the last month and a half, 20 people have been killed by the cartel. 20 people. And I look at this, you know, and I was thinking, you know, as we face this time for students to go back to school, you know, and parents are looking at new curriculums, you know, new ideas being taught from the classrooms, you know, and teachers, new regulations and challenges that they have as they teach. I look at this and I think, Lord, there is a lot of change. Now, there are a lot of bad change and some good things that are going on too. Amen? Let me give you something good here. My dad, after 28 years of praying for him, yesterday he was baptized on the Colorado River. That's good. And my brother Dean back there, he walked to the water too. He went into the water and he was baptized by God's grace. Amen? Julia Nathan Tracy, Julia Dogweiler, Nathan Tracy, a couple of our young ones, they also were baptized. But you know, as I look at this, I was thinking, Lord, 28 years I've been praying for my dad. And you've heard the messages where I said things about that, you know, and here we are. It's probably a new season for my dad. It's a new season even for me in the position that I am as a son, seeing my dad, you know, walking in the ways of the Lord, and maybe not praying and evangelizing him, but now discipling him and saying, Lord, what do you have for him? And I want to challenge you this morning with something. Through whatever's going on in our lives, what this verse 13 tells us is the one who endures to the end will be saved. When things are going from bad to worse, we have to endure to the end. Amen? But also when things get better in our lives, you know, I mean, there is for some of us good stability maybe taking place. Maybe we bought a house, you know. For the first few years, you've been in a solid, stable job. And you say, Lord, what a good thing. And for me, it's like, Lord, what am I going to pray for my dad? Because I've been praying for years, Lord, change my dad, open his mind, his heart and his ideas about your word. And finally, I see a miracle. What do I do now? Do I relax and just like lay back and feel like everything's going to be okay? Let me tell you something. As Christians, we are to continue in perseverance through every time, but especially as we look at the world through uncertain times. And you know, technology has changed a lot in the last few years. You know, the way we minister to people with COVID has changed a lot. You know, what's going on in the political arena has changed a lot. And as I look at this, in the midst of constant change around us and the little control that we have about change, we need to be wise. We need to be paying attention to what God is saying. And I want to share just some simple things that have challenged me as I look everything around the world. And one of the things is, Lord, give me wisdom to discern the times. As uncertainty is taking place, you know, and everything is changing, and the news are maybe exaggerating and maybe hiding some things too, you know. Lord, give us the wisdom to discern. Now, we had Peter Warren just about a year ago came and shared, and he talked about being able to discern. We have Stephen Kurt back in February. One of the things he challenged us to was with the ability to discern. And as Christians, we got to remember that the Word of God is what gives us the wisdom and the understanding to discern the times in which we are living. Amen? Let us pay attention. Because discerning is a biblical and spiritual ability to see what is going on around us, what the Lord is doing in regard to the things that we see, and then what's going on around us, what God is doing because He's sovereign, what my call is in the midst of these two things. Okay? Discernment is the ability to see that things are changing constantly. God is in full control and power of everything that is going on. He's sovereign. But yet, my call in the midst between God and and society and the changes is, Lord, what do I supposed to know? What am I supposed to do? What is going on around me? Now, looking in Matthew, we're going to go back up a little bit here. And let me tell you why I chose this. It's not that I just want to talk about the end times. But look at at verse 1. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. I mean, this is a very simple illustration of what's going on and an explanation of what's going on. And the disciples are pointing at the temple, maybe the religious stability, maybe the political influence of Herod on the temple. 40 years it took to Herod to build this temple, you know. They're looking at maybe the law, you know, and the sacrifices that for many, many centuries had existed for them. Okay? Just look at this for a moment. And they look at this and they point him out and they say, Jesus, look at this. Look at the beauty of this. Look at the stability that we may have. I mean, and look even at the influence of the Roman Empire. But Jesus answered them, you see all this? Do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. Sometimes things are going to shake around us. Amen? Sometimes things are going to move from the place where they were. This is what Jesus is saying. Now, obviously, this is historical. And this is prophetical for us. Historical in the sense that just 40 years later, all these things were going to be destroyed. And the Roman Empire power was going to change in many ways. And then also the law, the temple, you know, the sacrifices. In fact, the life of the disciples was going to change in the next few months and years. But as Israel and Jerusalem changed, there was the birth of the church in the world and two millennia of establishing the kingdom of God in a different way. But then also, as Jesus is saying, don't keep your faith and your stability on the things of this world, okay? On what you see. Because these things move continually. None of these rocks is going to be left that are not being thrown down. The foundations that are our security are thrown down. Just think for a moment about this. I mean, what would happen if the nation in which we live collapses? I mean, you've heard this. Nations are collapsing in the Middle East. Nations are collapsing in South America. Look at Venezuela in the last few years. What would happen if our world as we know it collapses financially? That could take place at any given time, right? What would happen if the way that we've done church, like we have done it for decades, changes like it did just a year and a half ago in the month of March when COVID came? What do we do when those things come and challenge us? Where are we standing? And look at the next things here. As we experience seasons of constant change with everything that has been happening and shaking, we are called to live for God. But in order for us to do that, we have to live with discernment. We have to be aware of what the Bible tells us. We have to be with faith, with stability in our hearts. Let's look at the whole chapter that we're going to look here, not the whole chapter, 14 verses, and look all the things that Jesus shares with them in regard to this shaking and throwing down that is to be taking place in Jerusalem. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, verse 3, the disciples came to him privately, saying, privately, so obviously when Jesus said these things, he said it in front of some other people, but they came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? I mean, there's a lot of questions here. There's a lot of wondering. And Jesus answered them, see, first of all, that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. And they will lead many astray. And you will hear the words of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed. For these must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And all these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world, as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So we look at these verses, and really there's a lot in here. But as I just want to use these verses to tell you, in the midst of anything that is taking place, whether uncertain, difficult, challenging, we have to say, Lord, am I firm? Am I discerning what's going on here? See, the times that the Bible predicts are times in which we will see constant confusion, Jesus says. And when I look at these, you know, you got to look at the whole picture. 2,000 years of constant change and confusion. Kingdoms rising against kingdoms, you know, empires being built up and empires falling down. You look at the way the church operated for centuries, and then that changed. And then again that changed. And then again that changed with the reform. And that changed in America in the last couple of hundred years. But as we look at these things, we got to remember, through everything that is going on, I look at this, and sometimes we get very stressed about the news. Very stressed about the political things that are going on around us. Very stressed about situations in other parts of the world. And then things seem to be that they lock down for a moment, you know, for a while, and then everything is kind of okay for 50, 100 years. And through all those things, sometimes we say, well, nothing new under the sun. All these things have been going on. And that's true, okay? That is true. And then at the same time, you see other people say, now Jesus is coming. This is the time. Through unrest and uncertain times, when we don't really know what's going on, is the time for us to realize this is part of the plan of God. Amen? Part of the plan of God taking place. Now, how many of you get frustrated with what's going on? I mean, we like to fix it, right? I mean, if they only listen to me for a year or two, you know, if they only pay attention, you know, how they made a mistake here 5 years ago, and there they go making a mistake again. I mean, look at how things, for me, you know, I'm 41 years old. I look a lot older. I know that. But, you know, you look at things, and they go in circles. You notice that? I mean, 20 years ago, you know, the war on Taliban was taking place. 20 years later, you see that, you know, the results of what was being done or what could have happened or didn't happen. You kind of look at all these things and you think, wow, you know, again, more unrest here. You look at Christianity. You look at people coming around, you know, rejecting the Lord and then maybe coming back and accepting the Lord. You look at people maybe angry at the church, and then now you look at people asking for forgiveness and submitting to the leadership of the church. And it's good. I look at this and I think, Lord, there are a lot of things happening. So give us wisdom and discernment in the big picture, but also give us wisdom and discernment in the small picture. Amen? And how do we do that? We do it as we persevere in the Word of God. What I want to do through this message is challenge you that in everything that is going on, you are to stand firm. One of the things that Jesus predicts here is deception right away in verse 3 and 4 and 5. See, he says, "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray." Through all this going on, there is a lot of deception. Religious deception is going on in the church. How many of you are aware of that? You look at the political things going on, there is deception. Corruption taking place. You look at the moral values of the nation, they're changing too. And there is a lot of deception. Inside Christianity, things that we were alarmed by 15, 20 years ago, now they're becoming more acceptable. Thank you for the word right there. Have you noticed that? Because of deception that is going on. Now I look at this, the curriculum being taught in schools too. You know, I mean, 10, 20 years ago, we were wondering, really? Is this what's going to happen? And now it's going on. And sometimes we kind of get, we get comfortable. We feel like, you know, there's nothing we can do about this. Are we discerning and paying attention that as all these things take place, we're not being led astray by different doctrines and ideas? The other thing Jesus mentions here is chaos. Verse 6, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars taking place. That brings confusion and chaos and instability. Another thing is fear. Matthew 24, verse 6, see that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. How many times through the last 24 months have you been alarmed by what's going on around us, right? Oh, What if this happened? What are we going to do with COVID? What are we going to do with the vaccine? What if this is not true? And you know, we were having a meeting here just about a week and a half ago, and the staff planning for the school year and thinking about worship and all this. And someone in the staff, it was John Whittyfield, he said, let's not, I'm going to call him out here. He said something very wise. He said, let's not look at the superficial things. But all this is, in some ways, is being driven by fear in our hearts. Fear of one extreme, but also fear of the other extreme. You know, that's taking place in a big way in our nation and in churches, in the schools and society. Everything we're doing, in many ways, is being led by fear. And something that the Bible speaks clearly is that He has not given us a spirit of fear. Amen? Because yes, we have to, at times we have to be cautious, we have to be wise. But also, is God in full control of what's going on? He is. And He's saying here in verse 6, see that you are not alarmed with what's going on around you. These things must take place, but the end is not yet here. Lord, this looks bad. This is frustrating. This makes me angry. I don't like what I see. And this is just the beginning of it? Is that what you're saying? Yes, that's what God is saying. And they're going to be increasing in a deeper way, in a greater way. But let me tell you, even God says here in verse 7, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. I mean, the events that are going on in the world are challenging and affecting us in a global way. And we look at this taking place more and more often, and I think, Lord, what is this? And yes, we even see, look in verse 9, Jesus, we're going to pick some things here. Jesus says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. Well, now I don't like this, Lord. This is not what I want. How do I fight this, right? How do I come up with regulations and ways to fight the government and to have my own world where I am free? We fight for freedom, amen, of expression and to preach the word of God. But let me tell you, the more we see the world, the more we see a world going against the truth of God. In America, we see that changing. But as I said, in other countries right now, how many of you know that there are Christians dying for their faith right now? In Chiapas, Mexico, this is the country where I was grown, where I grew up, Christians are losing their land because of their faith right now. I think of this and I think, Lord, it's just, everything seems to be taking place at the same time. Prosperity in one nation, you know, and then persecution for Christians. Prosperity for Christians too. And I look at this and I think, God, signs of persecution are arising. And all the above things that we read here are signs that will lead to increased suffering and tribulation. And God makes sure that He makes sure that we have enough trials and tribulations in our lives so that our faith is tested. Now, in a deeper way, we go deeper here in verse 10. It says, many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And we look at this too. Division going on. I mean, let's speak from this of these things from the pulpit, okay? You think we've had enough opportunity for division with the mask in Christianity in the last 2 years? And anger and hate, and I am right, and you're wrong, and I'm right, and all these things. Did you notice how I said I was always right? You know? We do this, you know. And this causes anger and resentment and offenses. And there is an opportunity for us to live in love or to show our lack of love. Look in verse 12. Because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. In marriages, in families, the way we proclaim the gospel, the way we share. I mean, I'm looking at the big picture here with all this, but through all the uncertainty that is going on around us, we have the assurance that God's plan is developing. I mean, do you go to bed at night and you say, thank you, Lord, that you are in full control of what's going on around my life? Are you standing firm in faith? Do you wake up in the morning and say, God, as bad as it may seem today for me, with my health or my finances or in my marriage, my family or my job in school or my job in the church or in the place where I work, I know that you're in full control of everything that is going on. And you are calling me to stand firm in perseverance of faith. Look what it says in verse 6. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place. Look in verse 8. All these things are but the beginning of the birth pains. This is only normal and prophesied in the Bible. But the one who endures in verse 13 to the end will be saved. And then in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. This is a promise of God. Amen? It's a promise of God that in spite of everything that is going on in the world, one thing first is God is going to fulfill His mission for everyone to hear the gospel, number one. And number two is that we have a call and a responsibility in the midst of everything that is going on. Amen? Don't give up. Don't feel like, what do I do now? How do I look at this and face these challenges in front of me? So we have to be discerning the Lord. And a lot of that comes from the Word of God. You know, you look at the Word of God, and it's amazing how often, with everything that is going on around the world, you are able to go back to the Word and say, this is in the Bible. This is prophesied. I shared this before. I hope I have time for everything here this morning. You know, I walk here and I think, what am I going to share, right? And then I'm here and I feel like, you know, there's so much going on. But one day we were in a conversation with some guys, family members, and everybody was just talking about the values, the moral values decaying, you know, and the political corruption going on, and homosexuality going rampant, and marriages falling apart. And for an hour and a half, everybody's just throwing things, and this is going on. I mean, it was just calamity all around us, right? And I thought, everything they're saying, I'm like, this is so biblical. This is not Christian people, okay? This is so biblical, like that. Everything that is in the Bible. And they said, somebody started asking, what is this going to end up being like? I mean, where are we heading with all this? What's going to happen? I mean, these things weren't like that 20, 40 years ago. And when I had an opportunity, you know, I said, well, if you really want to know, I think we kind of know where this is heading. And nobody was really listening to me. You know, they didn't want to listen to me. But eventually, when I had an opportunity, I said, you know, the Bible is clear about these things. If you really want to look what's going on, it's all in here in the Bible. Do you believe that this morning? I said, not only this, but the Bible talks about a man who's going to come and try to solve all these problems that you're having. His name is the Antichrist. He will be the Messiah for many. And he will be a man that is going to come with flattering of words. And I started quoting verses and taking them there. You know what happened? Silence. You know? And let's talk about something else. Maybe the weather will be a better topic for now. That happens very often. But you know, as Christians, we are not in the dark. Amen? We are not in the dark because we have the Word of God. And another thing is, let us pray. Let us seek the Lord and ask God, what is for us the call that you have in our lives? We not only discern, but we trust in God. Let me quote the verse again in Matthew 24:13. The one who endures to the end will be saved. The one who keeps trusting, that endurance or perseverance is the word right there. It's something that God is calling us to live. Our calling in the midst of everything is to endure. What does that mean? Literally, to persevere in faith through any circumstance. Whether everything is going good or bad, you are to persevere trusting in the Lord. This word, it means absolutely and emphatically under misfortunes and trials to hold fast to one's faith in Christ. Hold to the Lord in faith through everything that you're going through. So our call as Christians through everything that we see or face or experience is to continue in faith in God. And you know, it's amazing that God is the one who gives us this ability. But as we listen to the Word of God, we got to remember that we do not walk by sight. Amen? By faith we walk. By faith we walk. And the call of the Christian is, whether in the beginning of his road, for those that are just starting to walk with the Lord and being baptized, or to those that have been Christians for 40, 50, maybe 60 years in this room. Some of you have been following the Lord for many years. The call is the same. Trust in God. Look in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, when Jesus came preaching. He was saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. And how many of you know that the kingdom of God is more real than it was when Jesus came today for us? Amen? The kingdom of God is closer every day. And look what it says. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Change your ways and trust in the truth of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Don't go based on circumstances. Don't get frustrated. Don't lose your passion for the Lord. Don't get into complacency. Don't feel that like you can't make a difference in the place where you are. Keep trusting in the Lord right in the place where you are. From the beginning to the end, we are called to believe. Amen? Something amazing for me, and I have to remind myself of this, is it's not the one who starts in faith. It's the one who continues in faith through everything. Amen? I don't know if this is part of what's going on in my life, but you know, there were many times through these last 20 years that I prayed for my dad that I lost hope and faith that my dad was going to change. You know that? It's a huge miracle. There were times when I remember that I wasn't praying for my dad anymore. I wasn't really believing that God was going to do anything. I look at the circumstances and I thought, how can this be possible? There were many times when we talk and end up discussing the truth of the word and got mad at each other. And I thought, why don't you see it? And he said, well, I don't. You may think that you're doing the right thing, but I don't think Christianity is the right thing for me. And I will give up praying. But you know, when we persevere, when we trust in the Lord, when we continue in faith, God will give us that ability by His Spirit and His Word. But also, He will also give us those rewards that He's got for those who believe in Him. Amen? The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible. If you are a Christian, you need to trust in Him, regardless of the circumstances and everything that is going on. In John 16:33, it says, I have said these things. Jesus said many things and all the commandments and the sufferings that were to come. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. And then look what it says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Take heart. That is a conviction and security and assurance in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit that God is with you and everything is going to be okay. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to suffer and I'm going to have prosperity all the time. No, I will have tribulation. I will have suffering. During turmoil or tribulation, we are to be emboldened from within us as we are enabled through the power of the Holy Spirit to trust in Him. And to trust in His promises. Let me ask this morning. Are you emboldened by God to go forward? To preach the truth? To do what's right? To look at everything that is going on and with the biblical mindset say, Lord, thank You. Thank You that as a Christian, I am standing on solid ground today. Amen? And what I'm trying to tell you through this is, don't stress over the little things that are going on. Don't stress over the big things that are going on. Don't stress over them. Bring him to the Lord and say, God, what is my call right here? Yes, I'm looking at everything that is going on and I'm not alarmed. I'm concerned maybe. I'm praying for this. Lord, I'm asking for guidance and wisdom in all this. But Lord, what is my call? I'm trusting You here. There is change going around me continually. What is my call as a Christian? Look in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 to 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Continue in that faith. Persevere in faith. Wait on the Lord at all times. Even though the earth gives way, even though the mountains are removed and thrown into the sea, we are to stay without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. Let us also consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, there are also those that sometimes wonder and say, I mean, when is God going to do something? I've been a Christian for 40 years and nothing is really happening. I thought by this time, Jesus would already come, right? I mean, I wish this was the end already. Look what He's saying right here for us. You continue to stir up one another in love and good works, not neglecting to meet as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, walking with the Lord and strengthening others around you to that faith, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The day is drawing near. Amen. Jesus Christ is coming back. And if He's not coming back, let me tell you, in 80 years, most of us are going to be gone in this room. Amen. We're going to meet the Lord. We're going to meet Him. We're going to go to see Him. And we're going to give an account of our lives. But as we are here in this place, we trust the Lord with all our hearts. In Hebrews 10, 35 to 36, it says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence. He's talking about faith here continually. And it says, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance. You have need of perseverance, of digging in, rooting yourself in the things of God and saying, I still believe today, 20 years later, as I did 20 years ago in the Lord. With endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. When you are doing the will of the Lord and trusting in Him and continuing in the faith, you may receive the promise. And then look in verse 39. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. So, we are called to believe when many don't. And even when faith is uncommon, and believe me, this is the time in which we live is a time in which the faith of everyone is tested in some way or performance. With everything that we're facing and seeing. And simply put, we are to believe to God, to the end, and in God and in the truth of God. And when you believe, when you are rooted in Christ, when you're growing in Him, you're stable in the rock. And in the midst of everything that is going on, God will give you that strength to continue. Remember what the Bible says in Matthew 7. The one who hears these words of mine, the ones who is believing and paying attention and obeying, obviously, doing them, will be like a wise man who's building his house on the rock. And this is a time for us to be building our house in the rock, our Christian faith. Amen? Our stability needs to be firm, but it is only firm in the truth of the gospel. And as the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, because trials and tribulations are coming, we will not fall. We will continue to be founded on that rock that Jesus Christ is. I look at this and I think, so we discern God in the times in which we live, the will of the Lord. We trust in Him continually. But something else that we do is we continue committed to His calling. Committed to God's calling. Look in verse 14, and I want to remind you this. We read it in verse 14 of Matthew 24. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. You know, through all this that is going on around us, I see this. We have a great opportunity to continue to share the gospel with people. Amen? It's an amazing opportunity to say, this is what the Word of God says. This is what the message of the gospel says. And this is how God is working in my life. And this is nothing new is going on, maybe. And some of the new things that are coming on is exactly what the Bible is predicting for us. So, let us commit to the calling of Jesus Christ. What do? We grow in the knowledge of the Lord, but we disciple one another with conviction, with love, with dedication. Our call as Christians is to continue in growth in the Lord and to continue discipling, influencing those around us. Look in the Bible in Matthew 28, where the Bible says, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and grow in the Lord, but also strengthen those around you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. For us, the call of God is not changing. Amen? The commitment should not change. The responsibility that God has given us is to grow in Him, but also to keep discipling. And I think of this and I think, Lord, how many times sometimes we just kind of set back and feel like, I don't know if I'm really making a difference in the life of my kids or the life of my parents in my story. or the life of those that are close to me, my brothers, my sisters. You know, maybe in your own family, you have those that are not trusting. Are you seeking continually the will of the Lord in their lives and praying for them, discerning what's going on, but committed to share with them? Are you, even with some people that you may think, they're not getting it. They're there, but they're not really receiving. They're not growing in the Lord. Seems like everything that I said is just, it's not making any sense. You continue to teach the truth of God always. Amen? God is the one who gives the results. God is the one who gives the results. And even when people is too busy and entertained, we continue to do what God is calling us to do. This is the time for us to shine and to continue. Jesus says, no one who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. We cannot neglect our call. And why do we do this? Because as you know, in this just kind of a just touching the ground here on what Matthew 24 says, we got to remember everything is going to shake. Everything. The foundations of the earth are going to shake. The values, the morals, religion, the political governments, the finances of this world are going to be shaken. Look in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 through 29. And thinking about our commitment, see that you do not refuse him who is speaking. This is God. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, and this is talking about the people in Israel, who listened to the Lord and they refused to obey. They heard, but they didn't listen. They didn't obey. They refused him who warned them on the earth. Much less will we escape if we reject them who warns from heaven. And actually he's referring to Moses too. Moses was the one who was bringing the commandments to them. And they were disobedient, they were rebellious, they were neglecting the call of God in their lives. And therefore, a lot of things happened that really, I mean, the earth shook in such a way that they were eaten. They were actually swallowed by the earth, the sea. The serpents killed him. And then it continues to say here, at that time, his voice shook the earth. This is the voice of God shaking the Sinai. But now he has promised, and look at the promise of God to us Christians. Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. What are we doing and where are we standing when God starts shaking this world? Is he going to start in the next 10 years or in the next 100 years? I don't know. But let me tell you, where are we standing when the financial values of this nation fall down? Where are we going to be standing when even we can't go to church anymore? When persecution takes place in the land where we live? It's taking place in other places. Where are we going to stand when everything is shaking? It says, his voice shook the earth, but now he's promised that not only the earth, but also the heavens are going to shake. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made. So everything is going to be shaken. In order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Everything is going to fall apart. I look at these verses and I think, boy, Lord, we're getting confused here and we're just on the very shore of the sea, right? We're afraid. Everything is going to shake. Everything is going to take place one day. We don't know when, but when I look at this, I think, Lord, where am I standing in all this shaking? It says, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain, therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship. Again, the commitment for us is to be grateful for what we have in God, the spiritual kingdom, and offer to God worship through anything with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. I look at this and I think, Lord, this is big. But in you, we are firm. Amen? In God, we are firm. Real stability exists in Christ alone. And commitment for me is necessary if I'm going to be stable, if I'm going to be firm. In what ways are we addressing this shaking, these challenges that are going on? In what ways are we being disciples or discipling someone else? In what way am I committed to the Lord as I look at the instability around me and say, Lord, even though all these things are going on, I'm firm in my faith with you and I'm growing in the knowledge of the Lord and also discipling those around me. I look at this and the answer is the same. As we trust in the Lord and are committed to Him, we call others to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Look at Peter. Peter listened to the Lord in Matthew 24. And then he was baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit. He saw persecution. He experienced the challenges in his own life. And then when he had an opportunity to share, look what he shared in Acts 2:36 through 41. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ. Jesus is Lord and Christ. This Jesus whom you crucified, he said the truth when it was not acceptable because he was firm in Christ. And if he says, now when they heard these people that were listening to the gospel, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And look at our position as Christians. When someone is open enough to listen to the truth of the gospel, look what Peter said to them. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Save yourselves from this crooked generation. Jesus is the only way. He's the only one who forgives sins. Believe in Him. Trust in Him. Walk in Him. Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received His word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Christ is Lord in the midst of everything. Amen? We proclaim Christ, and we proclaim Christ resurrected. We do what God has told us to do because His kingdom is still being established. And as His kingdom is being established, we are committed in perseverance to His calling. We are trusting in Him and we are discerning with the wisdom of the Bible and the Holy Spirit what we're supposed to be doing. Now, let us just finish this morning with the scripture here. In Matthew 6:33, look what it says. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. My goal, my priority, as I persevere in the call of Christ and commit myself to the Lord, I avoid sin, I avoid the things of this world, I avoid losing, my faith and the understanding of the Word, and then I establish the priority of God in my life continually. In what ways are you doing that this morning? And if you're not walking with the Lord, this is an amazing time for you to say, Lord, am I growing? Am I a follower of your commandments? Am I really trusting in you with all my heart? Do I have this faith? Faith that in the middle of everything changing and shaking and being inconstant, am I really trusting in you with all of my heart? That's what the call of God is for us this morning. Amen? Let us just bow our heads and pray to the Lord as our worship team comes and just surrender this moment to the Lord and say, Lord, we pray to you and we ask to you that you guide us, Lord, that you give us wisdom, that, Lord, you give us the ability to be focused, Lord. Something that we are intent to do, Lord, very often is lose the priorities, the focus, Lord, move our eyes from you, from your word, from your commandments, and, Lord, start looking at things that we don't supposed to look at. Being frustrated, being angry, being fearful, being, Lord, swayed by the things that we listen, whether in the news or even sometimes in the pulpit, Lord. Allow us to remain in your word. Allow us to remain in faith, Lord, trusting in you and believing in you with all of our hearts because you are faithful. And Lord, what we see around us is part of your plan. And part of this plan, Lord, is that you will be with us to the end of the age. And as you're with us, Lord, you want us to establish your kingdom in our lives first, but also in the lives of others, Lord. Allow us to disciple one another, Lord, with wisdom, with strength and direction. Father, thank you. Thank you that in you, Lord, when we come to your word, we have freedom. We have stability. We have direction. Lord, we praise you. For what you're doing in the church, Lord, is exactly what you want to do. There is a remnant. There is always a group of people in the world that will follow you, Lord, to the end. And thank you that you are calling us to be part of that remnant. Lord, allow us to worship you with freedom. In your mighty name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand up and worship the Lord with this last song as we finish this morning.